Of note for having us. Just wanted to let everybody know a couple of things. First of all, there's one restroom. It's here. It's functional. Has toilet paper. A little bit. Go ahead and cross in front of any of these people, preferably when they're talking, if you need to use it. But if it's really crowded and crazy, Chandara, right next door, is also very, very open to our clientele. They're very familiar with us. Ground worker, a little touchier, but you can also use their place. And also, please come see our current show, Titus Andronicus, which opened just this last weekend.
Places just down the road. For those of you who've been to the piano bar, there will be entertainment and there will be a drink special. For those of you who drink, it should be a good time. Hope to see you all after that. This little shindig is going to last about an hour and a half. It's basically going to be me listening to myself talk. Hopefully you listen to me talk for about 10 to 15 minutes, just so we're all on the same page. And then immediately, we're going to launch into Q&A. So those of you who might have questions, even those of you who don't, start thinking of them now, because I don't want to say anybody have questions. Everyone wants to drink so much that no one actually has a question. So by all means, start thinking about your questions now. Anything is open as far as talking goes.
Ben, I'm sorry, one last thing. I just wanted to make an announcement apparently to your staff. Don't lean against the set. Don't touch the set at all. That's not as sturdy as it looks.
For those of you who did not see the sign, we will be filming this for the benefit of people who could not make it. So if any of you have a real problem, you can only run into the CIA or something like that. You might want to cover your face or just quietly walk out of the room. And that's all as far as the first section. Okay.
Quick question.
Yes.
Is there a Twitter hashtag? If people are tweeting from here.
That's a great question. I'll answer all the questions once I finish this, but for those of you who don't know, we are starting a Twitter hashtag. It's going to be #HFF. That is our Twitter hashtag. I want to see like 25 of those tomorrow, which is great. We'll start spreading the word. Good question. All right, starting out, just out of curiosity, because we have sort of a little thing going on in the Fringe group, who here has heard of a Fringe Festival before? Raise your hand.
All right,
I don't need to cover that section. I'm still going to talk about what a Fringe Festival is. I'm starting to get my spiel down closer and closer. It's going to be pretty tight. All right, in 1947, in Edinburgh, Scotland, the war had just ended, right? And they wanted some sort of large arts event to sort of healing and bind everyone back together. They wanted to do this in Edinburgh because they're industrious people, those Scots. This was a curated festival. It's a juried festival. It means you needed to be invited to come in. Well, 8 theater groups at the time, they're all British, decided that they didn't want to wait to be invited. Rather, they just wanted to show up on the fringes of the festival and do their own thing. It took about 10 years to actually form an official Edinburgh Fringe Society. But after 10 years, after 20 years, after 30 years, 40 years, today, largest arts festival on the planet. And that's where we are. 1.8 million tickets sold, over 100 million to the local economy. And who's been to Edinburgh Fringe? Anybody in the room? Everyone who's just raised their hand can vouch for how absolutely amazing and breathtaking it is. It's like you walk into this big bowl of art and you're just swept away by it. There's literally stuff happening everywhere. It is one of the freakiest places to be on Earth. And for those of you who haven't made the pilgrimage to Edinburgh, like August, if you can afford it, absolutely, I highly suggest it. Come here first, but then think about Edinburgh. Around the 1970s, 1980s, this whole concept of fringe started to spread to the rest of the world. And some of the largest festivals today, including Edinburgh, are fringe festivals, and that includes, or festival fringes, depending on how you want to define it. That includes the Brighton Fringe Festival, the Adelaide Fringe Festival, the Edmonton Fringe Festival. If you guys want to come in and try to find a place to sit or stand, and by all means, walk right in front of me.
It looks like there's a seat up there.
We have one seat up here.
We have one seat left. So if you
can. Come on in and sit on the floor.
I'll sit over there.
So, it came to North America. North America, you'll notice this. For those of you who've been, who's been to a Fringe in North America before? Okay, well, just name out some names of Fringes you've been to.
Indianapolis.
New York.
Phoenix.
All right. Now, for those of you who participated in any of those, I heard a lot of different names there. Every Fringe is pretty different. Every Fringe has a different model, and every Fringe reflects the city that it's in. Our model is very different than some of the Fringes you might be used to. A lot of Fringes you go to, and there's some sort of lottery or first-come, first-served system. Your name's pulled out of a hat, and then you're programmed into one of the actual venues. We're a little different. We are embracing the original spirit of the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, basically meaning that if you find a venue, any venue, within about the 1 square mile area surrounding us right now, you can be in the Fringe. We don't turn away anyone. As far as the definition of the word Fringe, that's how we define it. We define it as the organization that is playing the Fringe turns away absolutely no one. So even if you have a terribly offensive Fringe show, we will not turn you away. Like I was talking the other day about, like, how bad does it need to be for us to actually turn away? It has to be called, like, Al-Qaeda training camp. I don't think it would even turn away Al-Qaeda training camp, the musical exclamation point. I think we would still include it as part of the Fringe. I can't think of anything unless you're literally training people how to use guns and overthrow the government. I don't think there's nothing. We won't turn away nothing. All you need is a venue. All you need is a venue in Hollywood, and boom, you have a Fringe show. So, important, number one frequently asked question, when is it? June 17th through the 27th. That's approximately 11 days in June. There's a lot going on in LA during this time. This is obviously the coolest thing to do. And the fact that you're all here, obviously, you know that. So, what is, we've talked a lot about what is a Fringe, what is the Hollywood Fringe Festival, how is it different, how is it unique? First of all, it is a grassroots festival, it is a community festival. Like the Central Fringe Organization, a lot of whom are behind me right now, what the hell was I talking about? Right, grassroots festivals are not the ones that are actually going in and programming everyone in. We're not running every single venue, we're not running Theater of Note, for example. We are running one venue, which is Fringe Central. And we want to give a lot of people opportunities to do one or two performances in Fringe Central to help you promote the rest of your show. But every venue as a part of the Hollywood Fringe is an independent operation. Now, we will help you as much as possible get the introductions. And if some of you need introductions as far as venues, come up to me, come up to Lex. Where are you? She's out there. You met her when you're coming in afterwards. We will help you find a venue. But those venues that you're working with are partnering with us, but we're not actually running the venue. We call it the three-stakeholder model. There's the artists, or the participants, but I assume there are a lot of participants in here today. The venues, which are the actual institutions currently in Hollywood. And then there's the fringe organization. So if you want to fringe, quote-unquote, you find your venue, get a contract with your venue, and then you register for the Fringe, and that's really all you need to do, aside from this little detail that you also need to get insurance. But check with your venue, because a lot of venues are offering insurance. For those of you who have questions on insurance, we'll get questions for the Q&A, and we do have some resources out in the lobby that will give you a kickstart in getting insurance for your show. All right, so grassroots, community-based. That's what the Fringe is all about. The second thing is we are open, and we talked about this. This is how we define the word Fringe. Anybody can join. We turn no one away. I can think of 16 or 17 different ways to say this, but the point is that we will not turn you away no matter what your show is. And the third and last definition of what the Hollywood Fringe Festival is we are multidisciplinary. We are not just a theater festival. We are a music festival, and a dance festival, a variety festival, a burlesque festival, and a
art gallery,
a film festival. We're going to have film. All of these things will be a part of the Fringe because we don't turn no one away. Any conceivable art form, any conceivable art project can join and have fun and be part of the Fringe. So that's how I would define it. Grassroots, open, and multidisciplinary Hollywood Fringe. All right. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about was my pen falling down my body. The last thing I wanted to talk about is how to get involved. The most obvious way to get involved is to be a participant. So to become a participant, it's really easy. It's all web-based because we're savvy and all that. Go to the website, click Create a Project. It's going to ask you a few questions. upload an image, boom, you're good. Welcome to the festival. Like, you now have an online representation of whatever you want your project to be. Step one, complete. Step two, search the available venues. We have 11 venues posted right now. By the time we're done, we're probably going to have between 20 and 25.
Wow.
Each venue has multiple spaces. So, some lingo. Project is that thing you create that represents your thing that you're doing. Venue is like a place where stuff happens. See, stuff in engineering. A space is one of the spaces within the venues where you can play. So we're talking about right now there are 11 venues posted. By the end of next week there should be 15. We're going to be announcing those this week. Altogether, I'd say we have 25, 26 spaces available. That's not the complex sign now that just shot up because they have 5 spaces that they're adding. So, in the end, there's going to be a lot of places to fringe. Now, the number one pain in the butt for people registering for this type of festival is finding a venue. You are not alone. If you have problems finding a venue, support at HollywoodFringe.org. We will help find you a venue. It will be our mission to find you a venue somewhere. Keep in mind that it doesn't need to be in that list, though. If, for example, you're over here at Chandara and you're looking around, Thai place right there that's giving me no money to say this. If you're over there at Chandara and you look around, it's like, this is the best place for my burlesque circus show that I want to do as far as the French. You can go to Chandara and say, we'd like to do it here. And they will probably say, sure. And you say, yes. Of course, we want to do it here. They're like, okay, well, you can use that as your fringe venue. You can use some abandoned warehouse, as long as it's safe, on the corner of the road as your venue. You can use the gas station as your venue. The whole point of fringing is that it happens everywhere. Thus our tagline, from everywhere. Response that I was expecting. Anyway. Thank you. That's good. So yes, it can be anywhere. If you have a venue, if you have rights to perform in, you can perform there as a part of the French Festival. Fantastic. You aren't limited to the 11, 15, 20 eventually that will be posted. Just wanted to get that information. Okay, so as a participant, and then you register for the Fringe. As far as cost of registration for the Fringe, if you have a multi-performance / event show that actually charges money at the door, then the registration fee is $200, which is pretty cheap, I think, if you'll do your shopping around. If you have a free show, a show that you're not charging money to, or a what we call a one-off, it's only $125. Which leads me really easily into the next way that you can be involved, and that is a workshop. Looking around the room, I'm seeing a lot of people that seem to know stuff about stuff. You might want to teach other people about stuff and make money doing it. You can do this during the Fringe Festival. A lot of the venues during the day are booking workshops. Fringe Central will be booking workshops. There's lots of spaces in Central Hollywood where you can do workshops. If you want to teach something, earn a little money doing it, you can register for a workshop, and if you only have one, it'll only cost you $125 to do, plus your venue fee. Plus insurance, but you know you can talk about that. A third way that you can be involved in the Fringe Festival, if you are one of those lucky people that actually owns or operates real estate in the Central Hollywood, you can be a venue. Whether you are a school with a few rooms, whether you have a stage, whether you have a restaurant, whether you have a club, whether you have a bar, if you have a piece of real estate within a square mile area surrounding us, which is basically Franklin, La Brea, Gower, pointing in random directions, Gower and Melrose, then and you have real estate, congratulations, first of all, and secondly, you can be a fringe venue. We have this other program called Hotspots, which are we're going to be announcing next week, which basically allows fringe goers, fringe participants, discounts at cool happening places around Hollywood. So if you run a club or a restaurant or a bar or a cafe and you want to be a part of the fringe and you're either willing to house artists for free or you're willing to give the fringe going world a discount to drinks or food or door or whatever, you can be a hotspot and you'll get listed in the guide and on the postcards and da 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 da. It'll be really, 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 really good for your business. venues. We have a lot of venues in here, and I'm sure they'll be all making themselves known and waving at you and saying, come do your stuff at my place. But for those of you that have venues that we haven't spoken with or know of venues in Hollywood that might be interested, email support@hollywoodfringe.org. Yet another way to be involved in the Hollywood Fringe Festival is you could volunteer, which is an amazing thing. We have a lot of people back here. Are you guys hearing me okay? All right, great. Do we have any room here?
Yeah.
If you guys want to come on in, you know, we got the floor. Is you can volunteer. So here's the way volunteers work. You go to our site, it says volunteer of the Fringe, you put in some basic information, at which point you're going to be like a Facebook type of everyone who wants to volunteer. The Central Fringe organization and all the venues will be saying, I really need a house manager, or I really need someone to sell tickets or do whatever, you work backstage, work in the booth, I need someone to hand out postcards, whatever. If you want to volunteer, go to the website, volunteer. Either we, the Central Fringe organization running Fringe Central, or any of the venues will be contacting you saying, we need your help. And the benefits depend on the venue. For us, if you come volunteer for us, we'll give you free tickets to everything in Fringe Central that we control. Other venues will have different policies and what they want to do. But like, even if you're a participant, you feel like just being a good person, you could volunteer, because we love volunteers here. This thing is going to run on volunteers, and it's very important. It's a great way to get involved, have a good time, and just be a generally good person. Here's another, speaking of being a good person, we also need sponsors. We're always looking for people to give us stuff for free, including money for free. So, once again, probably not a whole lot of you in this room being in a recession and all. If you have some extra money and you're a business, by all means, give us your money. We will take it and make you look really, really good in the process. I only got two more ways to participate. The last one's sort of obvious. Well, the second to last one, and then we actually can do questions. It'll be really fun. The second last one is we're going to have awards. And the way awards work in the context of the Fringe Festival is that if you are an organization and you're pushing some sort of agenda, like most organizations do, you know, that's how it works, you can sponsor an award. For example, is Ian Garrett here?
No, he's not going.
He's not? Oh, but you're like his...
Sure.
Right. We've been talking to your organization, the Center for Sustainable Practice in the Arts. They are very interested in sponsoring a green award, basically what is the most sustainable project wins the award. You don't get any money for this award, but you get to carry it out of the fringe as something. It works for us because you get to promote us to people that have heard of us. Works for you, the participant, because you get to pull away this award and look really cool and use it in marketing. And if you're an award sponsor, it's another way to get your brand out there. It's the CSPA sponsored Green Award. So yes, sponsor an award. It's fun and good for you. The last thing I have to say before I introduce the staff and we start the Q&A is the most obvious way that you can participate is go to see shows and tell your friends and even your enemies, tell your loved ones, tell that girlfriend you had in elementary school to come see a friend show, because it all works. This is how it all works. Like, yeah, we're going to have advertising and marketing, we're going to do our guerrilla thing, and we're going to be beating down people's doors and dragging them into houses and all that sort of stuff, but that is not going to get us far enough. What we need is everyone to band together. For example, just a simple thing, you're on Facebook, there's this great button called Suggest a Friends. It's amazing, everyone should use it. You hit Suggest a Friend, say, hey, this is something you might be interested in, it's called the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Tickets go on sale. Hey, listen, you should really go buy tickets. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing to see the first year of the Fringe Festival. So go see the Fringe Festival. Have a fantastic time. What it all comes down to is this is a group effort. We're all in this together. We're going to work 24/8 to do the best job we can in promoting this thing. But since it's point number one, grassroots festival, this is something we're all doing. We all need to share in making this a great thing like I know it can be. It's pretty good. Place to end my little spiel, too. It's sort of touching and heartwarming. Thank you for the... All right. I thought you were videotaping.
Oh, I was.
You missed the applause? Oh. don't want to applaud enthusiastically, but I'd like to spend this next time introducing the rest of the staff. So we're all going to break here, and you're going to have questions that you didn't want to ask in the Q&A, and you're going to think, well, that guy talking at the beginning is the guy to talk to. It's not necessarily true, because I have a feeling there's going to be a few other people thinking about the same way. So I want to introduce you to the people that you will be talking to after this at the mixer. The people will be able to answer your questions just as well as I will be able to. Starting with our producing director, Dave Redeemer! And our sales director, Brian Burgess! Don't want to forget anybody. And our visibility director, Ken Peterson! Ken, who took the stool for someone who needed a chair from me and now appears to be sitting in it.
My leg hurts.
Don't talk to Ken.
Dangerous.
Our development director, Khan Matu! Our French central manager, Nick Hill! No way. Lex Sandrahan in the back with an roar! You need a venue? Come from Lex! Andrew Price? Where are you?
Where is Price?
Where is Andrew Price?
He was here.
He left.
Alright. No, don't applaud for Andrew Price, but do applaud for our operations manager, Zach Wagner! And our mascot, Liz Steele. Where is she? Liz, we're all applauding you. Let's go to the mascot. Sorry, that's gonna be good. All right. No.
Stacy. Stacy.
Thanks for remembering me.
I feel really, really bad. Why aren't you on this list? I had this list checked.
She checked it.
She's always standing next to me. The most important person in the Fringe Festival. Stacy Jones, our press rep.
I got it so screwed.
You got that on tape?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, guys. Okay, we have a Q&A, but before we move into the Q&A, because we like to talk a lot, here's a few rules. Please keep your comments and questions to 30 to 90 seconds long. We all like to talk a lot, including me, but like we have a lot of people there, 30 to 90 seconds long. Get to the question as soon as you can. Less than 30 seconds is also okay.
140 characters.
140 characters long. Okay, this might sound a little fascist, but if you have a question, please raise your hand. If you have a comment, please raise your hand. I know it's juvenile, but there's like 1,000 people here, and that's just how it works. And if you have a very personal issue, I don't know what that might be. If you have an issue that, say, is a very unique problem to you and wouldn't necessarily benefit group discussion, come see one of us afterwards and we will help you with your personal issue. All right. So without further ado, and you're all dying to ask, oh, I saw you first. Question.
Is there a limit to how many shows you can put up?
One of the nice things about the Hollywood Fringe is that we have no limits whatsoever to anything. So, like, basically, we have no, including how many shows, how many venues per show, how much you want to charge your ticket. There's no limits whatsoever. So you can have 15 shows if you want to. There's absolutely no limit.
But the venue limits you.
The venue might look.
Some of the venues that you can have only two, or you can have only one, or then you need to like jump around for different venues.
Let me rephrase. The Hollywood Fringe Festival doesn't limit you at all. Now, obviously, venues are dealing with things that the Hollywood Fringe Festival doesn't, which is actual physical space in the physical world. And most of the venues, are actually trying to give as many people opportunities as possible. Some are doing that by saying one or two performances to 20 different people. No one in anywhere is going to get angry if you book your show at multiple venues. So yes, but as far as the physical world of venues, there are limitations, but if you wanted to go down the road and do something there, that's perfectly cool. Your only limitation is the physical world, which is basically the venues. So as many as you want. Any other questions?
Yes!
Would it be possible just to have everybody say who they are and maybe what company they're with?
Oh, okay. All right.
that's
food, man.
When can we get this thing out?
Do please actually meant to say that. That's just the best. You don't want you to never boo up on you. Okay. Yes.
You said something about a one. Does that mean like if you do say a one woman show, I do a show for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Is that just a one time performance? And you said something about
the one off.
Yeah.
Right. The one off, the $125 registration. That is a single performance show. Not a one-person show, a single performance show.
Like only one time.
Yep.
In other words, you do the show only once.
Yep.
But say, for instance, I did it last fall at the Improvisational Theater. Is that considered in your mile thing, the Improv Theater, or is that it's on Melrose?
Melrose in what?
Crescent Heights.
Heights.
That is outside. Too far.
So I need a theater.
You do.
Or you know, a venue where around here, I suppose, where I could do a one-woman show more than once.
And then we have people here. You want to talk to Dave McKeever, this guy over here, or Lex Hanrahan, who is in the lobby right there.
What's his name?
Lex, her name.
Okay.
Lex. She will help you out to find a venue for your show. If you want to do just one, only $125. If you want to do multiple ones, then it's more than that. But if you don't want to charge at all for let people in for free, which is good on you, you know, that's great, then again, only $125.
Yeah, and I plugged the website here a little bit. There's a lot of resources up there. All of the venues have a profile up there. If they don't already, they all will have little venue tours that we taped that kind of give you a look at the inside of the space and that kind of thing. So it's a really great place to start looking. There's a lot of resources up there already that can really speed up your search because you can say, hey, I really like that place, and then reach out to them through the website.
Thank you.
Yes!
Elaine, you have come to theater. Hi, Ezra. two questions. One is, what if you have two shows? Do you have to register twice, and is it $200 per show or $125 given the fact that it's free? And the second one is you went through those names so quickly and what they do, and I could have them down. Could you say them a little more so that you can really identify who does what?
I'll do that first, and then I will answer. You might have to remind me of the question.
Can you repeat the question, please? Can't hear the question.
I'll repeat the question as soon as I answer it. I'll say it really loud. First, I'm going to no applause this time, maybe at the end, but no applause. Just quickly identifying everyone. That's David McKeever, the producing director. He handles a lot of the venue stuff. This is Brian Burgess. He will be selling you alcohol from the French, which is worth applause by itself. This is Zach Wagner. Zach is in charge of operations and security. So if anybody messes with you, tangles with this guy. This is Nick Hill. You don't want to mess with him. This is Nick Hill. He is in charge of Fringe Central. He's the Fringe Central manager. This is Ken Peterson. He is in charge of all things visibility. So getting the word out there, you know, however you define that. This is Stacy Jones, the most important person in the Fringe Festival. She's our press representative. Con Matu over there is the development director. And then in the back, we got Lex Hanrahan, who works on a lot of the venue matching. If you send an email to support@hollywoodfringe.org, either me or Lex will answer it. And then Liz Steele, who's out there telling people hello in the front. And she just helps out whenever we need help. Did I miss anybody?
You.
Oh, me. I'm the executive director, Ben Hill.
Yay.
I'll be your cruise director for this
tour. Folks in the back, we still have some space up
yes,
here.
Please.
If you want to step over people
instead
of just crowd in.
Excuse me, I've got to leave.
Bye.
I need to get a class.
Oh, it's great meeting you. Open seat here.
Same.
What's your second question?
Take care. Ideas, do you have to pay per idea? Like per project?
Right, per project. The question is, if you have multiple projects, do you need to pay for all of them? Or the answer is yes, because we're greedy bastards. No. The way it works is it's a question of what is that $200 or $125 get you? And what it gets you is it gets you on sale on the actual website. It gets you that much space in the guide. So if you think about it, that much space in the guide is either $125 or $200. So if you have two shows, that would be that much space in the guide. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we don't charge extra for is that if you're a single show with multiple venues, then we only charge your registration once. So, but if you want to bring five shows, if you really want to bring five shows, you can talk to us. Maybe we'll give you a break for five shows. But anything less than five shows, then you'll have to pay $200 or $125 for the registration, plus the rent, plus insurance if required, plus production costs, travel, board, that sort of stuff.
So, and it's important to mention here that the registration fee is basically the primary source of revenue for the festival organization.
Yeah.
So, you know, we tried to keep it as modest as possible, but that's basically how we're meeting our operating costs in addition to a small service charge that we charge on the tickets that we sell through our web application, through our central box office, through our phone box office. So you're really supporting the Fringe in a very direct way when you register a show. So.
A quick thing about the box office commission that point that he just made. We take 8.5% commission on all tickets that we sell, whether it's through the Central Fringe box office, the phone number, or the website. But if you go to the venue and if someone actually buys a ticket at the venue, we don't touch that because we don't run the venues. So only on the tickets that we actually get there and get people to buy do we charge the commission on, because that's how we define sort of fair, I guess. Sir?
Yeah, Father Cherney from Orpheum Theatre Corporation presented the White Fire. And I have a question for Stacey. I'm running a show right now at the White Fire, and the PR person cost me a little mucha mula. For two performances which I'm going to be doing at Complex, I'm clearly not going to hire a PR person. What kind of a publicity do you do as far as press?
We're going to be putting together a little like kind of packet of information for different ways that you can promote your show, because a lot of people are going to be interested in promoting their show for the Fringe Festival, and we don't all have money to pay a professional PR rep, but that's going to be coming in the future, like probably next week or the week after that, different ways that you can promote your show. But we'll be doing it through the website and through the guide, and we'll be having events like these where we have the public come out and we can talk to people about our shows.
And listing in calendars and stuff?
I'm sorry?
And listing in calendars and different
newspapers? Yes. And we were probably going to do, we were just talking about this, having like, if we were going to set up something where all the projects could send me releases if they want, and I could put them on a list that I could send to my press contacts and say, if you want to check out some of the shows that have sent me releases, here's a list of them that you can check out, and you can get more than that way, too.
We had that idea yesterday.
That's a great idea.
The way it works, it's like, rather than giving you the names of every press person in the town, which is sort of uncool, we're gonna have a system probably on the web where you can submit your press releases, and there'll be one place where press people from all over the city and all over the world can come and see press releases for all of the projects that have submitted them. So it will tell them where to go and find that.
Ben, will you explain the Fringe Guide to everyone so they know where it's coming out and what magazine it will be an insert of?
I will. Thank you, Tom.
One more thing about also during the festival, too, in a little Edinburgh style, you will have a space out in front of the Egyptian where there will be performances, and you can do slots, like 5, 10, 15-minute slots, and get your show out there and show little sneak previews during the festival and foot traffic.
That being said, the ink isn't exactly dry on that contract yet, so it's not actually 100% dead. So pretend you didn't hear that first.
That's okay.
But in general, there will be opportunities in high visibility, high traffic areas, a lot of foot presence for you to promote your show. So either there or somewhere else, there'll be places where you can go do little mini versions of your show or just promote, and now flyers really dive into the guerrilla marketing aspect.
We're calling them visibility stages. So there will be a series of visibility stages stocked and set up in front of anyone who conceivably let us do that. And then there'll be a webable application you can go to rent out for free. If you're a participant, like slots, like 15 or 30 minute slots in each of the visibility stages. So it's another place where you can get your information out there and have a good time. To answer Khan's question about the Fringe Guide, or to speak to Khan's point about the Fringe Guide, Our central piece of marketing, or any Fringe Festival's central piece of marketing, is their Fringe Guide, which has a listing of all the actual Fringe acts in the show. And part of your participant fee goes to the publishing of said Fringe Guide. So the Fringe Guide is the big enchilada, the thing you look through, and it's like your Bible for the Fringe. And you open it up, and you say, oh, it's Monday, it's 2:30, I'm at Theater Asylum, Artworks is right down the road, and there's a 3:30 down the road. Oh, and look, there's a place I can go get a drink of coffee on the way there. So the whole question you keep asking yourselves, for those of you who haven't fringed before, is what's near, what's next, what's near, what's next, what's near, what's next. Most of the shows are short, most of the shows are inexpensive, so you can spend a whole day going ding, 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 all around and see as many shows as you want to. And that's really what we encourage, because this isn't I'm just going to see one show, this is I'm going to fringe, I'm going to go from show to show and have a good time and not spend a lot of money, which is sort of the whole thing. Yes?
Good question. I'm Chris Levitino from the Gangbusters Theater.
Chris?
And I was just curious why you made a 1 mile limitation.
Good
when
question.
Everybody's going to drive anyway.
No, it's true. It's true. The reason we did it, and this was obviously a contentious question when we were first organizing it, and this is something that might change in the future. The reason we did it this year, because first of all, we named it the Hollywood Fringe Festival, so it would be sort of false advertising if it wasn't in Hollywood. Now, that being said, another point is that we wanted to have a sense of place for the first year. So there was a place where people came where we could have events going on all over the place. Since this is our first year, we're already biting off 25 venues. It's sort of a big deal for the first year, is that we wanted to make it a manageable area. Now, that saying, this is going to be an annual event after the first one, and our minds are totally open to expanding it in one way or another to different areas around town. Obviously, you're dealing with LA, and one of the things about LA is you have all these little pockets. A lot of people like to stay in their little pocket if they can, so it was a really, really, really tough decision about geography the first year. But as I said, sense of place, manageable for us the first year, and then as we grow, like I imagine like something along the lines of, like you'll have 2 weeks of the Hollywood Fringe Festival in the year 2015. Year 2015, you have 2 weeks of the Hollywood Fringe Festival, then a week of the NoHo Fringe Festival, then a week of the Santa Monica Fringe Festival, then a week of the Downtown Fringe Festival. Try to make a whole month of it and try to spread it on the place. So it's sort of like a just don't want to totally kill ourselves organizing this. Obviously, we all have huge respect for all the arts happening all over the town. We want everyone to be included. So like, that's a big, big, big issue that we wrestled with early on. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, one of the key motivating factors there is that there's a lot more to the festival than just what's going on inside the venues. We're really trying to make it inescapable, that you walk around this square mile during those 10 days. It's unavoidable that something very different is going on, because another big factor in this is the sort of another night in LA factor. There's always a lot to do around here, so what is it about this festival that will draw people into it? And we feel that it's that environment of festivity, for lack of a better word, that you'll be able to walk around here and anywhere you go, you'll be able to participate. So really concentrating it into a localized area is important for that, because with limited resources, so.
Yeah, and also it's better for your shows, too, because the theaters are so close to each other, you can walk out of one and immediately into another one. So it helps to centralize the audience so that you can get more people to come to your show.
Very tough decision, though, and like you're right to ask that question. Yes.
I'm in considering a proposal. I have two questions. How
name?
How many? Sorry, Jeremy Aluma, Live Theater.
Hey, Jeremy.
How many shows could I expect to like? What would you think the average would be at any one particular venue that they would allow to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Second question is new, like never been produced material going to be considered higher in the venue's minds than material that has been produced before, say something like Zoo Story or This Is Our Youth, things that have been done and been done before.
Is this been done before? No, but I love both of those. But to answer your first question, which was what's the average amount per performance?
Of
you know,
venue.
Already it ranges from 1 to 8. Already,
okay.
Just on the stuff that's going on right now. So like one venue might give you one performance for free, and you're like, thank you for the free performance, and then you need to go to another venue to find like six or seven. I would say, in the end, shaking it out, reaching in the air, just pulling a number, we're probably talking about between five and seven being the average run for non-one-off shows. That being said, people in Edinburgh, I mean, it's, what, 30 days long, 28 days long, I think, and there are acts that do 28 performances and sometimes, you know, 30 performances, 45 performances, they do multiple shows a day. Really, it's really something that you need, an agreement you need to come at between you and your venue and come to a deal with that. We have obviously no say in that. It's a rental relationship between you and your venue. To answer your second question, as far as will new and original works be put ahead of existing works, you're going to find that the venues that have already signed up all have very different motivations for wanting to be a part of the Hollywood Fringe. Some are seeking to the Hollywood Fringe is an extension of their general aesthetic, which might be new and exciting stuff. Some might just be first come, first serve. If you have money that is green and works when I want to buy things to pay me, then you will have the space and are totally ambivalent as far as what you want to do. You'll find it really is different from venue by venue by venue. And I'll say again, if you have any trouble finding a venue to do the amount of performances that you want to do, then email us at support@hollywoodfringe.org and we will help you find a venue that sort of meets what you're trying to do. You, like, some venues will say we're only looking for new works. Mm-hmm. Some venues don't care at all. So it's up to the left of you. Thanks. Yes?
Hi, I'm Laura from Invertigo.
Hi, Laura.
Okay.
Invertigo.
From where? Invertigo Dance Theater.
No, I talked over her when I was saying hello. Invertigo Dance Theater. Laura Carlin.
Hi. I don't know if there are any other dance companies in the room, but...
Yes.
Dance company? Yeah. But we have, you know, kind of put more specific, you know, needs from a venue. So that might be something for you to put up on the website, or I'll email you. But, you know, a raise for, like, the note, I love you, but, like, this is concrete and you die.
It's actually not, but
okay.
Yeah, I understand.
Like, not raised.
Yeah.
And so I'm just putting it out there that that might be something.
We have an answer for you, if I can hear the answer.
Ben, please repeat the question also so people can hear.
I will.
Can I talk about IDA?
Sure.
Okay. The question is, obviously different types of art require different venues. She mentioned dance in particular. Obviously film is another one that needs a very specific type of venue. We are about to announce, letting the cat out of the bag, the International Dance Academy will be one of the official venues. We just need to do a few administrative stuff. We've already signed a contract with them. They're officially on board for the Hollywood Fringe Festival. So IDA is a great dance option. We're talking, for those of you that are interested in film, we're going to be announcing in the next couple weeks some options for screening your movie as well. So, yes, and you can talk to Dave or you can talk to Lex, and they'll set you up with the people at IDA. Yes?
Hi, I'm Brandon Clark from Sacred Fools. The question is, performances that are in the venue via the boundary, whatever it is, can you also have performances of your work outside of that venue boundary, elsewhere in Los Angeles at the same time?
There's no reason why not. Why you wouldn't be able to?
There's no restrictions like the fringe has to be only here.
No. There are some fringes that do stuff like that. We aren't one of them. As I said, we're sort of the hands-off fringe. So, for example, if you were doing a show at Sacred Fools, for example, or you're doing a show down in Santa Monica, and you wanted to do a five-performance run at the same time during the Fringe Festival, mm-hmm. You're not going to get guff from anybody. Yeah. We're totally, like, as I said, we're not here to police you. We're here to give you opportunities. Yes?
Hi, my name is NC, and I wanted to comment on Christian's comment about it being in Hollywood. Hollywood is the center of the universe, basically, so I think it's a great idea that it's here, and it's starting from there to grow. Hollywood has two major metro stations. I'm car-free. I ride my bike everywhere, so I do hope... that would be embraced, because it is a walkable neighborhood, it is a beautiful neighborhood, and we want people to get out of the car and get to know the little shops that you wouldn't do otherwise. So if we can promote on the websites that it is accessible by two metro stations, Hollywood, Highland, and Vine, and also that people can ride around with bicycles, and hopefully the venues can provide some safe by parking, that would be really great. I would.
We're working on the parking question. So obviously that's one of the difficult things in Hollywood, but you bring up one really good point, which is we have two metro stations. And, like, okay, I would say Hollywood, personally, Hollywood is the center of the universe, but, like, most of us live here, and one of the things that we like about living here is you can walk from place to place to place to place to place, which is, as much as we love L.A., is not all of L.A. You can't just walk everywhere in L.A. Hollywood is one of the only neighborhoods in L.A. that is really, really, really walkable, and there are venues like ding, 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 which is why, and then we have Hollywood the brand, which obviously does a lot for the international sentiment. By the way, we are getting a lot of international interest in this as well. So that's one of the many reasons we came to the difficult decision of doing this from a geographical center of Hollywood. But I'll say again, in the future, if this works and other neighborhoods are interested in jumping on in the future, we are absolutely interested in talking about, that's so many apologies, but about expanding it beyond Hollywood in the future years. Yes?
I know you can't be too specific, but in general, can you give me an idea of some of the ticket prices people have been already putting up, and if there's anything you can tell me about, like, the average venue deals or the sort of deals that are going in general, so just
sure.
Sort of talk money. Really.
What's your name? And
I'm Aaron Parse.
Hi, Aaron. First question, ticket prices. Now, again, we don't make you price your ticket at any particular level. As far as what we're seeing so far, to give you an idea of what the range of marketability is, there will be pre-shows. Do you guys want to come in, by the way, over in the back?
There's a seat over there.
There's a seat over here, and there's
still got space on
floor
the floor.
Space. The average, I'm going to go out and say what I've been telling people, the average will be $12.50, which is right between 10 and 15, which is what I'm saying. You're going to have some $5 shows. You're going to have some free shows. You're going to have probably about 15 to 20% of our programming will be free. But I'd say once you go over 15, once you're going towards 20, once you're leaning towards 30, you're starting to price yourself out of the market. Because as I said before, what people want to do is, you know, show. If that one show is, and I'll say the same thing about length too. Like sometimes length can work against you. If someone wants to see six shows in a given day or five shows in a given day, they're probably not going to see the complete works of Shakespeare. Like fringe shows, some 60 minutes and less are very marketable because they feel, okay, I'll pay $15 or $10, and if it stinks, that's okay, because I only wasted 60 minutes of my life. That being said, if you have a real play that's like 90 to 120 minutes, I don't want to discourage you at all from doing that. But that thing that you might be working against that mindset in people's minds. So I'd say $12.50 is average. You had a second question, which was average venue price.
Yeah.
Ranges all over the map. I've seen three major types of deals. I'll get the numbers, specific numbers in a second. Three major types of deals offered thus far. One is the one that most French people who've been to Fringes in North America are used to, which is the 100% of box office to artist deals. There's a lot of those. You pay one rent, you get 100% of the box office. I see a lot of box office split deals, which you pay a smaller rent, and it's like a 40-60 split with the artist getting 60. And then I see what's called house nut deals, which basically means that the house needs to make X. Everything past that is yours, or 95% past that is yours. I've seen like total, speaking of like total amount of money that the venue wants to make, each range from zero. There have been some free rents, all the way up to the really expensive line, which I think is around the $400 for performance. But like, that's extreme. The mean, I'd say, is around $200 per performance, is around what the mean is. So if you wanted to do five shows, that would be $1,000 in rent. But let me just say something like that. You know, it's a business, negotiate, say this is how much I can afford, can you take that? Ask for a different option. If you don't have money up front, you say, can we work on a house nut deal? Can you lower the price and give me a box office split? So like, be savvy, because the venues are all savvy. You be savvy too, because what we're trying to do here is create business savvy artists so you leave the fringe, you make millions and millions of dollars doing other things. So like, be savvy. The venues have a certain amount of money they need to make, because rents are expensive in Los Angeles, as we all know. But you have your finances too. So try to come to some sort of agreement. Am I pissing any venues off by talking this way?
I've run a venue that I can't do here because I'm a fanatic salon in Culver City, and I would suggest this, that you offer to the venue not to pay them up front, but to, you know, pay them out of what you make at your, you know, make a guarantee, obviously, you're going to pay them. One of the things you could maybe negotiate that with them is you're not going to pay them up front, that you're going to pay off what you make doing your show.
Yep.
A lot of people would accept that, knowing that they're going to get that money.
Yep, so if you don't have the money up front, exactly right. Look for alternate ways that you can come to a deal. Some venues are going to be like, no, this is what you get. Some venues are going to be able to work with you and try to come to some adjustment. Everybody wants great things to happen. It's just coming to that number that works for everyone. And if you have any problems with venues, support at HollywoodFringe.org, and we'll be able to help you. I'm going to get back to you in a second, but I think I've heard enough. All right. I'll see you.
See everybody at the mixer. We have some great music there and drink specials, and you get to take a picture with our mascot, the Freaks, right around the corner.
But he's just leaving now. You don't need to go now.
What's the address of the...
I'm sorry?
What's the address of the mixer?
The venue of the mixer?
Address of the mixer.
Oh, the address. There are maps right on the door right there. So really, go out and swing it. Take a left and swing it. Take a left on Selma. It's on your right.
Hi, I'm Gregory Krasner. I'm producing Friends Like These. Two questions for you. First off, insurance, do you happen to know I realize it's probably venue specific.
Yep.
Do you happen to know what the general ballpark is in terms of like coverage pricing, et cetera, for that? Or
it depends entirely on your provider to the point when I don't even want to venture a guess at what it might be. It's going to be probably, here I am, venturing a guess, a few, budget around $300 plus for insurance, a regular show. But pay no attention to what I said just now. Outside, Wintermute Insurance has some flyers. We've been working with them, and they're putting together fringy prices for you. So you can talk to them, and definitely talk to your venue, because your venue might be able to insure you as well and their coverage. So before going out and buying insurance, try to see if you can work insurance into your deal with your venue. You might end up saving some money by doing that.
Cool. And number two is I'm also trying to take the show I'm producing to the New York Fringe. And I know that when it comes to New York, the producers see their cut of the tape sometimes October, November afterwards. Because I'm trying to raise about 10 grand for that. Do you know how long it would take for the proceeds to be processed from you guys?
Right.
I realize it's a brand new system.
Excellent question. And it is a brand new system. We're going to be announcing that in an official way. I will do what I shouldn't do, which is tell you what I think we're going to do.
we'll take this and this is not law.
Right. This is not quite law yet. If at all possible, we would like to pay to do two payment schedules. One after the first week and one a week after we close. We're going to try to do that. Now, keep in mind, too, that when an offer is made from a venue to you, for those of you familiar with the website, you know what I'm talking about, you will see one of the questions will be, who's getting the money from the fringe, the pre-sale money? Is it getting sent to the venue or is it being sent to the participant? Because, for example, if it's a box office split sort of deal, most of the venues want to be paid directly, and then the venue will disperse you the money. But if it's 100% of the artist deal, which a lot of cap fringes are like, and North American fringes are like, then most venues just want the money to go straight to the artist. So the fringe will be trying to do a two-payment schedule, one after the first week and one a week after we actually close. We'll be sending the check to whoever is mentioned in the actual offer that you received. Box office split, usually the venue, and hopefully the venue will do a really fast turnaround. You want to talk to the venue about that. Or if it's 100% of the artist, most of the time, 95% of the time, we'll be sending it directly to you, the artist.
Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yes?
Hi, I'm Laura Brody, and I do costumes lots of places.
Good.
I wanted to know if you had any galleries that were actually doing venues. First question. And if you have the street spaces outside, not just for little promo pieces, but street places outside of different venues.
Sure. Hey, Tony?
Tony had to leave.
Oh, Tony had to leave. All right.
But the Hollywood Arts Council is looking at the possibility of exploring a few venues that we might be able to work with visual artists.
Excellent.
To be continued.
Yes, I mean, like very much.
Visual art with performance, but... wanted to know if there was something like that space available.
We're trying to get some actual venues on board that are purely exhibition based for arts, and then there are the lobbies of all the venues as well to try to get them on the sort of the board of putting arts on their walls as well. Fringe Central will have art all over the place, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. As far as actual your second question, which was actual outdoor space, we're working on talking to about these visibility stages for businesses around who might let us put some sort of space in front of their business where we can make available to participants to further the visibility of their actual project. And then we're working on a yet-to-be-officially announced big outdoor space. If you were listening, you might have caught what it might be. An official outdoor space as an extension of Fringe Central that will be like a going on all the time outdoor space, which will have visibility spaces and refreshments and fun and
But also, if people have specific ideas about how they'd let, I mean, again, every bit as much as you can find any space you want to do a performance in, if you have an outdoor area or you know of one and you have some sort of a creative way to do that, we're certainly open to
anything,
possibilities there. So.
We're open to everything. We are yes people. So if it doesn't actually cost us any money, then we're all for it. If it costs money, we want to think about it first.
I have a couple of different questions. I'm Lauren Miller from Pierce Backbone Theater.
Hello.
Hi. Are you getting any support from the Chamber of Commerce or the City of Hollywood or LA Cultural Affairs or places like that?
Yes, I mean, let's see. Well, the going through like the DCA and Los Angeles County Arts Commission, we have grants into both of them, so we'll see. You should all write the Department of Cultural Affairs for Los Angeles County Arts Commission. Your undying support and the immediate necessity of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. But we're members of the Chamber of Commerce, so we are working with the Chamber of Commerce. We're working with all three business improvement districts across Santa Monica, across Sunset, and across Hollywood. We're working with, for example, the Hollywood Arts Council, which is another local institution that we're working with. We're working with basically with any community organization that will listen to us. And we've gotten, because this is a community festival, it's a grassroots festival, we consider that very, very important, is tapping into the instruments of the community. So, yes.
Yeah. My other questions are whether each participant is on its own in terms of finding stage managers, producers, people to do scenery, anything like that, or if you're going to act as a clearinghouse or help producers, stage managers, and so forth find, hook up with different performers. Each participant is totally on its own.
Well, I wouldn't say that on it. Let me say that what you're talking about is a service that we would love to offer, and if you have any ideas on the best ways that we can go about doing that, please let us know, because absolutely. Right now, we're relying on some of the existing infrastructure in the city to act as like bulletin boards, like Big Chief being one of the ones that rises specifically to mind, at least for theater. Generally, since it's a self-produced festival, you need to be a producer. So you need to be a producer to actually put the actual project together and bring it to the Fringe. We've gotten a lot of support emails saying, I have a great idea for a Fringe show, but I don't have a stage manager, or director, or actor. So you sort of do need to find those. And it's a self-produced show, you're a producer, you need to find these things. There's various things we can do. You can go to the Fringe Facebook site and say, I have this great show, give a link to the Fringe site or the actual nature of the show and say, I am looking for a stage manager, I am looking for a director, I'm looking for actors. And then we're arranging discounts with media partners yet to be officially announced that will give very discounted rates on their services or classified services for people who need to find them. But like that stuff will all be in artist packages. Can I answer your question?
Is there any group of producers that has expressed interest in this event?
Well, yes. everyone who's created a project is a bad producer.
Right.
But like,
oh, obviously.
Well, like, but yes, like,
I'm separate from your own project.
Come talk to us after the show. We might be able to hook you up with a few personal contacts that might help as far as getting, if you have a particular show in mind that you'd like to get produced. But yeah, we're looking for bulletin board type solutions, a vast array of bulletin board type solutions to try to get the word out for our shows. Yes?
Yeah, Guy Pico, producing Bonnie and Brighton. Will most of the conventional kind of theatre venues, will they at least kind of provide an operator?
It's a venue-by-venue thing. like Ezra is no
problem. We're definitely supplying any technical support.
Yeah.
However, we would be working, our technical people would be working in tandem with the production company's team.
I mean, if only to protect their equipment from
fools.
Exactly.
Right.
we're pretty foolish.
Also another thing, because of the way that the kind of the Edinburgh Festival works, is there any kind of commitment from any kind of reviewing body at all that the shows will be covered?
Not yet. There is no commitment from a reviewing body yet, although that is definitely something that we're working on. Like, ideally, we'd love every arts journal in the city to be covering all of these shows and writing about them. And one of the things when I said earlier that this is a group thing, it's a community thing, people need to make a big stink out of it. Once people start making a big stink out of it, it becomes a big deal. You'll see more press interested in covering and going through show by show and show and reviewing it. For example, I come from Washington, D.C. originally, and we just recently started a Fringe Festival. One of the major theater reviewers has a blog that he calls the Fringe Blog, really creative title, you know what I'm saying. And he goes through and he sees every show and he reviews every single show he sees, knowing some of those reviews are kind of bad. You need to be ready for that. But yeah, one of the things that we really like to see is the local national press paying attention to the shows. Because a good review is such a great thing. It's a great thing you can bring out of your friend's show to get produced. So hopefully. But no commitments as of yet. But keep your eye on our blog, and I'm sure we'll be announcing that sort of stuff. Matt.
Yeah, Matthew Quinn with Theater Asylum. Kind of along those lines, I've been involved with the San Francisco Fringe, and they had, and I'm sure you've thought about this, on the website for that Fringe, they had the audience members, they had a place for them to post the reviews. And it was a wonderful way for people to kind of see what's going on and talk about it, and your site seems like it'd be natural to kind of go.
Absolutely. Excellent point. Like, in addition to the national, the local national press thing you were talking about, there is going to be something along the lines of a starring system, like 1 to 5 shows followed by a comment. I imagine once we announce our official slate of awards, one of those awards will be audience award that will be based on some sort of algorithm wrapped around those votes. Absolutely. That's an excellent point, is that user reviews will be a major part of the Fringe as well. Yes?
Hi, David Spengali from the Complex. Can you talk a little bit about, as far as, multiple groups in the same space on the same day, like, working together and, as far as, rehearsal time, what has seemed to work well in the past, like, as far as, rehearsal time, setting lights, set pieces, and stuff like that, storage, dressing rooms, all that stuff?
General light plot usually works. No storage provided is a pretty constant thing that you shouldn't feel embarrassed about as a venue, because no fringes offer storage. Fringe venues offer storage that I've ever heard of in my life. The question is whether to do a slotted approach. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's a slot, and there's a half an hour between all of them. Mm-hmm. Or having one project per space. It's totally up to you as the venue. We would suggest a slotted approach because that gives the most people the most opportunities. It's the fringiest is to do a slotted approach. But then again, for example, you have 5 spaces at the complex. Someone might contact you today, actually, probably even I told her to. that would say I have 8 comedians, really getting specific, that I want to bring from the UK, that I want to bring to the complex, and I want to book one of your spaces to basically present. Underneath you. So you'll see all sorts of different conceivable things. Sometimes a big presenting group wants to book an entire space, and you have some spaces reserved for slot. Rehearsal time, entirely up to you. Tech time, obviously, is a must-need sort of time for tech time. There'd be before the range, before the fringe. That's the trick as a venue, is the scheduling. And at Fringe Central, we're going to be same boat as you, because we want to give as many people opportunities as possible. We want to give them technical rehearsals and real rehearsals. we want to space show by show by show, you know, as smartly as in the scope of possibility. So encouraging people not to have success, obviously, to have a storage. This is the way that you go, as it were. Yeah. Hope that answers your question.
Yes!
Nathan Turner with Moving Parts Theater Company. And you spoke briefly and just mentioned it again about Fringe Central, and I was wondering what spaces that entailed, where is it?
Yes.
And you spoke a little bit about maybe allowing some of the productions the ability to...
Sure! You know, I haven't announced this yet, but I guess now's as good a time as any, isn't it, James? Fringe Central will be... here we go. First time here. We'll be at the Theater of Arts Arena facility on the corner of Las Palmas and Hollywood. That's the official name, right? Theater of Arts Arena.
Right. It's the arena stage on Las Palmas and Hollywood.
And
99 seats, very comfortable. There's a nice lobby bar. There's a little seating area for people outside. I think it's going to be a great Fringe Central venue.
So where is it?
It's on, the entrance is on Las Palmas, south of Hollywood. Big sign says Theater of Arts. We're talking about, you know, giving some outdoor space around that, if you didn't hear what other people were talking about, expanding it into different areas. It is a wonderful space. It's a 99-seat theater, huge, massive booth, enormous backstage space, more bathrooms than ever seen. It's true.
Five
bathrooms. Absolutely. You will never, ever
have done this month.
So it's that area that we're calling Fringe Central. We're going to be officially, because I just sort of did, announcing that this week, as well as venue tour. We're going to be opening up for applications for people who want to perform at Fringe Central as an additional, probably not as your principal spot as a participant, but as a adjunct spot, as a place where you can squeeze in a couple more performances. So we're going to be offering 1 to 3 performances at Fringe Central with the expectation that you go to one of these other wonderful venues and do the majority of your run there.
Jeff Gardner, I'm producing Kill Your Television. I have a question about in regards to that venue. Is there an expectation at the closing weekend that there'll be additional performances of shows that win audience awards or various awards that you guys offer?
Right, maybe. We've had that idea, and absolutely. It's there. There's this priority list, and here's the pressing stuff, and here's the really non-pressing stuff. That's like right here. So we'll have it some coming up, though. So we'll have an answer within the coming months as far as how that last Sunday is programmed. Maybe, though. And like if that's really what people want, then probably. We will
there will
see
be some sort of festive.
Some
event.
Sort of thing.
I don't know.
Why is Ken back?
Yeah, why is Ken back?
Why is
Ken back? There's a question. All right. Oh, he forgot us. All right. That answer your question? Yes, sir.
Thomas Bigley with the Porters of Hell's Gate. We're running 2 shows in rep right now. Does that require 2 registration fees, or would that be covered under the same thing?
It depends on, do you want to put both shows in rep and that thing in the Fringe Guide?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Sure. It comes down to if it's a single project and you say these 2 shows and that's all you care about and they're going to be billed the same way, performance, you'll just need to say it's both shows. We'd suggest, besides the fact that you get more money for this, but we'd suggest like breaking it up. because you sort of want to, if you want to put both but it's totally up to you. If this is good enough for you, and it's always going to be called one thing, it's always going to be called Show H and Show B, then yeah.
We're doing Hamlet and RG and are dead in rep right now, so it's been really, we have the same artwork for the same one for both of them.
Oh yeah, super. Yeah, no problem. If you want to do Hamlet and RG are dead, and you just need to, but keep in mind that everything will be here in the performances, here's the description, and that's all you get. So if you're cool with that, then we're cool.
And are you guys going to have connection with like Footlights and Play 411 and Gold Star and things like that?
We actually, if you check the latest edition of Footlights magazine, you will see a beautiful full page color ad that they gave us for free. As far as the others, yes, we are talking to the folks over there. So there will be something. Now, what that something turns out to be, we're not quite sure. In the back!
Yes, hi. Kyle Roberts, performance artist.
if you do a free show, I'm sure you have to talk to the venue, but if you do a free show and sell merchandise, does that count as not charging admission for tickets?
Works for me, yeah, sure.
Sweet. And the other, just to be sure, I kind of thought I heard it, but I wasn't sure. If you do a free show at more than one venue, it's just one fee?
Yes, yes, it's just one fee. Okay. We don't, wouldn't that be a sneaky way to earn more money?
Hey, let's do that.
No. If you want to do one show across 12 venues, that's one registration.
Okay, and then I have one last question. If you were to do a show or a piece on the street or something along those lines, do you still need insurance? Do you need insurance to be a part of the festival?
Gosh.
I need a permit.
Or a permit. If you talk it over with the city, you get a permit after you have insurance and all that.
Okay, I finally got a question that I have no answer to. Please, could you email us that question and we'll provide some sort of big thing? We do need to talk about that. But the thing is, if you're doing something on the street, then you're probably also doing it inside somewhere, so you probably already have insurance. But anyway, support it, hollywoodfringe.org, and then we're going to do a whole Learn article, you know, the Learn section of our site, about insurance, and it's like answering all of your questions. So if you, and I'll write it down too, if you can send me that question, we'll post an answer to that on the website. It's one of those things that, like, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a lawyer question, I'm not an insurance guy, and I'm able to answer insurance questions, but yeah, we'll find out an answer for you there. Who's had their hand up the longest? Yes!
Michael Shaughnessy, Hollywood American Legion.
Hey, Michael.
How you doing? What's our relationship with Equity through this?
Oh, hey, you asked that question. Just had a meeting with Equity, as a matter of fact. Right. Everything's going to be 99-seat planned, basically, because, like, almost all of the venues are 99 seats and less. So if you, and we're going to have a whole, another Learn article based on what do I do if I want to cast Equity people in my shows or SAC people in my shows, et cetera, et cetera. It all falls under the 99-seat plan, which is a pretty, you know, open plan and very fringy when you look at it. So, like, I know it's, a lot of people have a lot of opinions on it, but as far as that goes, you'd most likely be covered over that. So if you have a show and you have Equity actors and you're in a 99-seat or less house, then you're going to be subject to that. And you can direct me any specific Equity questions at support at hollywoodfringe.org. And as I said, within the next 3 weeks, we're going to have a whole page on the website saying, what if I want to have Equity actors, stage managers, et cetera? And here are some frequently asked questions for you. It's nothing that you're not used to if you've already produced stuff in LA. Does that answer your question? There's more specific
well,
stuff.
Well, you know, it's just in an open space. I mean, the potential of having more than 99, like more than a 99 seat type of house is...
It's possible.
It's very possible.
Right.
And, you know, and we've got a very large space in our American Legion, so.
It's true. You really can't, like, it's one of those can't fight City Hall things. Like, if you are going to admit more than 99, then you sort of do need to talk to Equity about an exemption or a contract. And there's really no, if you have Equity personnel, there's really nothing that we can do about that, besides the fact that if you did contact Equity, they know we're here, they know what's going on, they know to expect inquiries, so you just need to work it through with them. We have no, like, special powers over the union or anything like that, other than the fact that they're being very supportive of what we're trying to do. I really appreciate that. So yeah, little nice thing. Yes.
Hi, I'm Marshawn, and I'm producing Bride of Wildenstein, the musical.
Yes.
But I had some questions about film.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a point person? And two, are there any spaces equipped with screens?
Not yet, but stay tuned, because there might be one very, very soon.
Some theaters already have screens in them that they'll let you view.
The theater note actually is adding a screen.
Fantastic.
Theater style is one, right?
Theater style has a screen.
I believe we're planning on putting one in
Fringe Central
as well. So
Theater note, Asylum,
and
Fringe
Complex.
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 Them.
A lot of them.
The answer is yes. Stella Adler has a screen.
Oh, great.
So, yes, any, you know, it's like, and also, if you're interested in doing films, there's always the very famous finding a wall and putting the film against it. I know it sounds sort of silly because you can't hear it, but it's one of the things we're encouraging to create that sort of festival thing, and it might be a little extra promotion for you as well. It'd be great to walk around and see, oh, there's a film, although there's a crazy con burlesque troupe.
that answer your question?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, great. Yes.
Can I just, I'm Christy Baltazar, I'm a lighting designer. So can I just, if all the theaters don't have their tech information and what they have clearly listed, can I just ask all the venues to do that and make sure it's easy to find for everybody? Thank you.
No, by their tech information, what do you mean?
What lights you have available, like you're making people use a rep plot, like what sound equipment you have, if you have a screen, if you don't have a screen, the dimensions of your space, all of that makes it easier for all the designers, which makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah. That's great. Now, there is places on the website where they can put this. So you said you check those places in certain venues?
No,
and
I'm just saying if they haven't done it yet, because I know that sometimes it's buried in, like, about us, information,
right.
Contact this guy. You know, like, make it visible, and it makes it easier.
If you're on the Fringe site, you go to HollywoodFringe.org, and you go to the venue section where you can browse the venues, and you choose the venue, and you hit spaces. And then underneath that, for each space, there's a spot that says lighting, sound, with specific information there. So check the website. It's quasi, sort of, kind of buried. Like, you go to the actual venue page and click on spaces, it's listed per space. So that's a good place to start. And if that doesn't answer your question, there's a big fat contact me, and you can ask them directly, and you might put it as a little postscript. By the way, it might be a good idea to post this.
Yeah.
I'd probably appreciate it.
Coming incredibly soon, we're going to have PDF and CAD versions of ground plans that we've drafted of all of the spaces up on the site. It's a coming soon kind of feature. So you'll be able to download PWG files or PDFs of the layout of all the spaces.
Which should be really helpful for designers as well. So yeah, every venue will have a ground plan. Sir!
Hi, Ben. Jack Currington, the Swamp Opera, Tall Tales from the American Swamp. What I'm finding when I talk to some of the venues, it appears because there's so many slots back to back. Pretty much, it's you're going to get to put a backdrop off, turn all the lights on. Hopefully, you'll get your microphones hooked in, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, bring in a couple chairs and run through it, and that's it. So there's not going to be a lot of light plans, or you know,
unless you find a venue willing to do that, or if you go out and find your own venue. Because if you want to do a $30,000 set, huge light lens, the whole thing, then you theoretically could go out and find a venue that you could book just for yourself. I'm pretty much sure that all the venues that are currently on the site are looking for multiple actual projects. But every venue in Hollywood isn't even remotely represented on the site yet. So you can find any space, and you could do whatever you want to that space and have it all to yourself. You have that option. So it involves hitting the street and looking and finding the right place. But yeah, you're right. When most people think Fringe performance, they don't think cats. They think, you know, the Fantastics, for example. It's like, there's a box, and there's a guy with a piano. I mean, that's sort of like what they think. When you think Fringe, you think low tech. But that being said, you know, do whatever you want. No one's saying you can't have do cats. Because you can do cats now.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, I'm Megan McCauley. I'm also from Moving Parks. And my question was on that same note. So if you have a space that has like a technical staff provided, and you have sort of like paper tech your show beforehand, do you think that that's something that's possible here with Fringe? Like you come in saying like that there are a few cues we're really interested in.
Like you want to set up a special or something like that specifically for your show?
Possibly. Mostly just saying like going beyond just like lights up, lights out. You know, we have a few things we'd really like to have happen. Can we work this out with you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think those things are possible?
I'll give you my favorite answer to that question. It depends on your venue.
Right.
It really does, though. It really does. Yeah. Like, if there's something that, like, makes or breaks your show and you really need this one special setup so it'll make your show, talk to your venue. You never know what you might get.
Okay.
So, like, good luck. Yes?
Hi, Neil Eshelman from Washington Radio.
Oh!
Will there be, like, possibly when you're selling tickets online, like a discount code possibility for maybe some of our loyal fans of our companies or shows or anything like that?
Excellent idea.
We definitely have that technology available to us. We're using Ovation 6, and Ovation 6 does support that. Talk to me afterwards. Hadn't thought of it, but yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yes.
You said something about where the brochures were to be put in, but you didn't say where the brochures were coming out.
Oh, right. Little timing for everyone, because we didn't talk about specific timing. April 1st. April 1st.
It's April Fool's Day.
And April 1st is when registrations close. And that doesn't mean that's when you, and that means you need to have a venue and a project and a booking and paid your registration fee by April 1st. If there's any date that you need to write down coming out of this, it is April 1st. The reason we're closing off April 1st is that we're printing the guide on May 1st. May 1st, we're going to have a sort of a party. Everyone here is invited. We're having a good time. We're going to have some performances. We're going to have drinks and fun. And we will be dropping the guide on that date. So May 1st is the day that pre-sales start. So when you can start buying, it's really coming up. When you can start buying stuff on HollywoodFringe.org, and it's when the guide drops. So hopefully that answers.
Was it going to be in something?
It might be in something. Some media partner will be announced at some point in the near future. don't like to give things away.
How are you distributing really? How are you guys distributing?
We're gonna have a bunch of volunteers, and the whole job of these volunteers is to go all over the city and drop guides and drop postcards. And some of our media sponsors say, you know, we'll be a media sponsor if you drop our stuff wherever you drop other stuff. Streets, you know, theaters, film places, the whole thing. So we're going to have a small army of Fringe volunteers basically blanketing the city in these guides. Like, if you've been to Edinburgh Fringe, you can go to almost any venue in London, and they have these Edinburgh Fringe guys everywhere. Of course, now that the London Fringe is coming, they might just throw it up in there. but as much as funds allow, we're targeting on about 30,000 copies of the Fringe Guide being produced. Hopefully more, depending on how a few pending sponsorships come out. But like getting them all over the city as much as possible. Does that answer your question?
Great. How many are you going to be distributing?
20,000 to 30,000 actual copies. More, if at all, humanly possible. Get in mind.
Is the guide going to be available digitally?
Yes, it's the guide will be the website as it is. You know, you won't go now. And you
well, not as it is.
Not as it is.
I mean, completely reconfigured for that phase of things. But yeah,
you mean like a PDF of the guide?
Yeah,
yeah, we'll have a PDF.
I guess that'd be a great thing for the individual.
Yep, we'll have a PDF of the guide, and then the site, like you created a project for your show, the difference between what it looks like now and what it will look like on May 1st is there will be a big, fat, buy tickets now button. So,
I like that button.
Yeah, that's a good button.
It's a good button.
yes, Sophia.
I want to go back to the painful point of choosing the venue.
Yes, it is painful.
It seems to me, from my experience, that some venue says, okay, just pay me, this is your slot, you're going to get her one evening.
Yep.
Some other venues are saying to me, we don't know. We don't know the schedule yet. Just put your application through the festival,
yep. And
then we'll let you know.
Yep.
So it's kind of confusing, because they will let me know in a month that I have one slot for 10 minutes
yep. At
3:30.
Yep.
That doesn't satisfy me.
I know.
So what should I do? I mean, should I register to different options of venues so I'll get what I need and want? Or it's vague, and it seems that everything is going to be at the last minute in terms of the answers that we get from the venues.
I can tell you that some venues, probably some of the ones you've applied to, literally in the next 2 weeks are going to start making offers.
Yeah, we've had meetings with every venue in the last couple of weeks, or if we have them scheduled within the next week or so, but we're really pushing venues to try to get offers out the door to people, because we understand that some people are getting frustrated with that process. Thing you have to understand is that we're trying to merge one infrastructure that's our company and then 20 different other people's staff that are trying to do this for the first time. So we are experiencing some growing pains in that regard. It's just getting people up to speed on how this all works. A lot of them have never done it before. So we're doing everything we can to move them toward booking offers, because what we love to see is that we get to sometime next month and the ones that we've already got online are all booked up and we need to add some more venues. That would be a great place to be.
Yeah.
So we're doing everything we can to push them toward making offers and getting the ball moving forward. So.
And support HollywoodFringe.org, and we'll do whatever we can to go represent your project amongst other venues. So my one advice would be vigilance. Stay vigilant and keep trying. It means keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. It means don't give up. Constant vigilance is one of the person used to say. So don't give up. Keep trying. If you haven't heard from a venue, don't let that stop you from trying other venues. Keep looking. And I said it once, I'll say it again, is it doesn't need to be in that list. Like, if there's like a church space that might work for your thing, go to the church and say, hey, I'll give you $50. Will you give me a performance? Stuff like that. Like, real deal. Any place in Hollywood, there's a million places you can be. And you know, 999,000 are not listed on the on the site. So, and if you have any any problems, give us a ring or an email, and we'll try to help you out.
Okay,
another
quick question. Is there any way to contact the participant? Let's say I want to borrow one dancer or an actor or whatever, a collaboration or something like that. So, is there any way to contact each other?
Make a comment on any of the other projects. There's a little button that says share your feedback or add a comment, and they'll get an email saying someone has added a comment to your. It's like a Facebook page. Someone has added a comment. So that's one way that you can communicate with them. Another way is through the Facebook's page. Another way is through any of the Big Cheap of existing infrastructure that's actually already in Los Angeles.
And there's also Contact Me right on the everyone's personal profile page within the site. Right below the name, there's a little link that says Contact Me, and there's a little correct. So there's a whole system right into the site where you can message back and forth, kind of a la Facebook. So.
So what time we got? We got
15 up.
We have a hard stop at 8. Because I'm going to lose my voice. We have 15 minutes. We have 15 minutes. Now, who hasn't had a chance to ask a question? I know you haven't yet. And then you, and first you. You were first.
Do you have any idea about, when going back to volunteers,
yes?
When you're going to let it be known to volunteers about what duties, when, how to schedule, how you get to
Yes.
about when that will be released?
Yes, yes. As soon as I get around to coding that part of the page, it will be done. Within the next, putting the volunteer infrastructure together, I can't tell you how much I look forward to the 2011 festival. It will be, within the month, we'll have more on the volunteer functionality available on the website. So, excellent question. You didn't give your name?
Pam.
Sir.
Hi, I'm David O'Shea. I work with the Library of Congress and do interviews, veteran interviews, free interviews. Any veteran wants to, I put it on a CD, give it back to them for free, sort of collecting family stories. Is there a way to put an ad in the, because the only way I get the word out is the word of mouth.
You're asking if you can buy an ad?
If you can buy an ad or do something.
Yes!
You haven't talked about it.
Can I address that for a moment?
Sure.
I'm from the Hollywood American Legion. We're currently trying to get a Screen Actors Guild committee for veterans forum. And so we're in the process of doing it, and that might help you out.
Okay.
Well, that's brilliant. But to answer your first question, yes! you can't buy an ad. Within the next month, the way our ad system is going to work is that if you're a participant, you pay this much. If you're not a participant, you pay this much.
Okay.
That's not really that much of a difference. all along the gutters of the guide, there's going to be ad on the website. It's going to be ad. We're not going to be doing Viagra ads and stuff like that. It's got to be, you know, like about something in the art world, you know, et cetera, of your sponsor of the art world, you have a business in the area. But like,
what Viagra wants to sponsor us.
Yes, within the next month, we're going to have a whole ad framework. It's all going to be web-based, blah, blah, blah. But yes, you and everyone else in this room will be able to buy an ad with the French festival. Yes, Rob.
Hi. Is there a way that you can have an organized, where all the venues will show their venue in a particular time frame?
Like a venue walk.
So we could see them.
Good idea. Yeah, we'll get on that. That's a great idea. This is why we do these things, for these great ideas.
2-3 days, they're open between the hours of 1 and
yes.
3. And
No, that's a great idea. I literally will get right on that.
Thank you,
guys.
I appreciate it.
All we got. Let's put together our last question. Who's got their hand up? These are going to be the last questions.
Oh,
God's sake. That's like, awesome. Who's got the best questions? We're going to go to this side. Go for it.
Alex Polinsky represents some vaudevillian circ troops, and also I have a movie that went around to festivals a few years ago. It's already been shown. Is that okay to get a random show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, no, we a lot of fringe festivals have this. It's like needs to be new. It doesn't need to be new with us. You can do Chekhov. You can do anything.
Okay. And just as a side note, it's a World War II movie, and I'd like to talk to both of you guys.
All right. Everyone, raise your hand who has a question left. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7. Okay, that's it.
10 minutes.
7? Can we do 7? Can you wait till afterwards, or is it later? Okay, you talk to me afterwards, directly afterwards. Okay. Okay, we have those 7. Put your hands up one more time, so I know you are. Everyone studies. There's gonna be no cheating.
I'm back.
All right, go for it.
My name's Aaron Booker. I do some work with Paul Lucian here, but I'm also a graphic designer and I do work a lot of restaurants and so when I talk about sponsorship.
Talk to Dave and talk to Lex outside. Those are the two who talk. We love the dog.
And also, I work with a British house here in Holland as well.
Definitely like to talk to you about that too.
They also have an art gallery that might be
even better. Get that guy's number. Next.
My name is Rowena Poitier, and I'm an actor. I just found out about the Fringe Festival today. So, I don't know, what is the process for actors to audition for all of various directors?
You know what? We have this thought in our head about some sort of like, you know, big casting call that all French producers can come and attend. I'm saying it for the first time out loud, just to say it. But like, that's one way we might do it. We might either this year or in future years arrange for a big sort of catapult call that French producers can attend and actors can audition for. That's one thing we're talking about. Other than that, you'll expect to see notices as we get closer and closer. French show looking, and what you find out of any other French show. Like, definitely subscribe to Big Cheap if you haven't already. That's a great theater resource here. Backstage, LA Weekly, on and on. Like, definitely keep your eye on that sort of stuff.
And sign up on our Facebook page.
And sign up on our Facebook. And have all your friends as well. And I'll keep you informed. But absolutely, like, keep your eyes open. And if we put together any events specific for us casting actors, we will let everyone. Who's next? Go!
Julie Griswold, senior principal of St. Hollywood Neighborhood Council. Along the vein of the finder of venues, first basement, or what have you, does it have to be within the borders? Okay.
Yeah.
What are the borders?
The borders are Franklin, Melrose, La Brea,
yeah.
Gower. Those are the borders. Yes, yes, and I know that excludes Sacred Falls, and that really, really sucks. As I said, in future years, open it up, more fun. Okay, who really had their hand up?
Oh, I don't have my hand up.
Come talk to me afterwards, and I'll answer your question.
Oh, just a quick question. On Gower, specifically, like, there's two sides to Gower.
If you were like just on the south side of Gower, we're willing to stretch the boundaries a little bit. Come talk to us afterwards. If it's literally right off of Gower, we don't need to be dictators here. Yes.
Hi, Rico Della Vega, Magic X Productions. Will any streets be shut off for pedestrian only traffic?
Maybe.
What?
We have a grant application in specifically to do that.
Yep.
So if that comes through, almost certainly.
Wow.
Yeah, we are, something along those lines will be happening. If it's not an actual paved road, there will be something to that effect. Some
right.
sort of outdoor
right.
space that is visible.
Some sort of visible outside space that there will be much stuff going on that will lend a sense of place. But we'll certainly make a big stink if we end up closing a road and everyone will certainly know.
And
it won't be Hollywood.
It will be near the the tourist traffic too. So.
Yes. Exactly.
Thank you.
Oh, who are the remaining ones?
Those two.
First of all, if you want any help promoting in the dance world, I imagine you may or may not have a lot of experience in that. Please let me know. We should talk. And I encourage anyone who's not in directly like the theater world, which seems to be what is centered in the French Festival, maybe talk to these guys about how you and your art form can help. And then venues, exclusivity contracts.
Venue exclusivity.
Well, a lot of venues do have exclusivity, like 60 days on either side. I know we just got backed by a venue that we're swarming at. Do you know if that's factoring into it?
I have not.
It doesn't feel fringy to me.
Not really.
It feels anti-fringe.
I never heard, if you're having a specific instance of a venue as part of the fringe, let me